This is a production of Cornell University.
DA meeting, September 5th, 2007.
Okay, at this time I'd like to call the meeting to order. I see we have a couple guests in the back. If you don't mind, if you want to introduce yourself.
I'm Beth McKinney from the Wellness Program.
Okay, you're our guest speaker today. And?
I'm Carly Miller from the Student Assembly.
Nice to meet you. I'm Brian Cornell. Finally nice to put your face to a name. At this time, I'd like to ask for any late additions to our agenda. Yes, Dennis.
Just a small point of order, and Brian, you may be already aware of this, but
okay.
Who is going to coordinate the emergency grant fund option? I'd like to talk about that.
Okay, definitely. We're going to throw that right into, we can put that on the committee report.
Okay.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to assume there's no other late additions to the agenda. Move on to the report from the chair. This meeting is going to probably be a little rushed. We have a lot to get through, but I also don't want to say if there's anything important not to say it. Even though I'm going to be rushing the meeting, still feel free to, you know, speak and have something to say, ask questions. We attended our leadership breakfast. One thing I'll report from that is, and I haven't brought it up before, is that Tommy Bruce did mention that there is a committee of trustees in Ithaca available in case we wanted more trustee time and we couldn't get it. That there is a small group here in Ithaca that we could possibly get their attention if needed be, or if we wanted to. We had a resignation from one of our UA reps. Tammy Bishop resigned yesterday. So we're down another UA rep, and we're going to need to, surprise, surprise, try to fill that position as quickly as possible. Also, Leon Lawrence, one of our long-serving EA members, has also resigned due to the fact that he has another position in Washington, D.C., and he will be leaving us. I don't know when, but effectively immediately he resigned from the EA, so we have another EA position open that we need to work on rather quickly to fill all the spots. I think that's three now, right? Four. Okay. As far as the report from the chair, I'm going to end that for now so we can get through everything else. Report from the employee trustee, Michael is in New York City and cannot attend the meeting. He's with the Board of Trustees in New York City, and he asked that I just pass that on to everybody. Okay, report from UA representative. Who's got that one today?
Do you want to?
We'll share it.
Okay.
I had a report about the CJC presentation that they're going to be sending, presenting to the president. They're on schedule. There's still some conflict between jurisdiction off-campus and on-campus. That's where they're still negotiating what to do about that. So that's still rolling along. There was some conversation about the child care center. They are seeking committee members to be on the child care committee.
Who is that? Is there a contact? Do you know who the table, or can we just go through you if anyone's interested?
Just go through either Bill or myself.
Either one of us.
Okay.
Did I forget anything, Bill?
Those were the main two topics they talked about. The other main thing was, similar to us, is they're trying to revamp their committees and reactivate a lot of them and so forth. So they're going through beginning of the year, new member process of, you know, what committees do we need to get going and how and so forth. So I'm sure there'll be more coming out as things develop and they decide what committees are important based on topics and stuff. And I'm sure they'll be looking for more volunteers.
There's some talk about the master plan, too. Just there was one faculty member there that was very angry because they're cutting trees off campus, and you know, she thinks the architects are designing by ego instead of by mindset. And
ego versus ego.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, definitely keep us updated as you get more info on the UA, and we're going to do our best to get us keep getting that UA committee filled.
Can I interrupt for a second? I would like to join the UA if I could. I would definitely like to be considered for that.
Okay. Bill, be in contact with you about that. We appreciate that.
Can you come to the meeting tonight?
I can't. Should I?
What was that?
If I should, I will.
What time is it?
4:30 p.m.
No, I can't make it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, no problem. We appreciate you joining that. And you want to?
I mean, I'm sorry if I didn't hear this and it was said earlier. There are actually two proposed committees in the UA. One is a family services committee, which would not just be, and this was coming from Mary Offerman, and there's a big overlap between the staff focus and the UA focus here. That one is meant to deal not only with child care needs, but also with family care in general, including parents and spouses and partners. So they're looking, hopefully, tonight for somebody to volunteer to be a liaison from the UA to that committee. For child care services, Dan Brown, who's written a resolution for that, and family services. Sorry, I'm getting committee confusion here. He's already volunteered to head up that one. But that's the subcommittee of this family services committee.
Oh, okay. Those are the two?
Yes.
Great. Any questions as of now for UA rep? Okay, I think it's your late, so I didn't grab. Were there minutes to approve?
Sorry, there's no minutes.
No. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, we're going to move into committee reports, and I ask that if there's nothing to report, just you don't even have to give a brief intro of what you're doing, just pass, because we are on a time-sensitive schedule, which I apologize for. We'll start off with the executive committee. Carrie, do you have anything?
I actually have to ask a question. I don't see the priorities on here. Where were we throwing priorities into this? The priorities listing that we came up with.
You can throw them on right now.
Well, I was going to do it right in the executive committee.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. All right. I sent out a lot of emails. I know people probably got tired of seeing them, but trying to keep it moving along. I did want to take a few minutes, and we're going to allow a little bit of time to talk about priorities that were set. I didn't get a chance to hand this out ahead of time. I'm sorry. Let me just send some around if I can. Just one sheet if you can pass around. Pat, what I'm sending around, just so you know, is a list of the priorities that I've sent out an email. It's the same information.
So nothing different there.
Okay, I get that.
I've seen it so many times, I think I got it memorized. Okay, so anyway, let me explain it real quick, and really what we want to do is just have a little discussion, see if anybody has any questions on it, and then it's going to be a question of can we go ahead and move forward with these as our priorities. So what we have here is a list of all the priorities, or the suggested priorities that came up during the retreat that we had. And since then, I put them together, sent them out to people. Everybody did a grading of an A, B, or C as to what they thought the level of priority was. I hope nobody minds. I went ahead and left the initials on there, the people that actually did the grading. Out of 9 that were still in the employee assembly at this time, 8 of us did the grading. And then I took that and turned that into just a numeric score of an A equaling 5, which is the highest, a B equaling C. I'm sorry, B equaling 3, and a C that equals 1. And then what's actually important is the shaded area where I have average. So what I did is I sorted it by average from the highest priority to the lowest, And this is the way it fell out. So just to make sure everybody understands it properly, the top one there that says President's Address was rated as a 4.8. That's the highest rating between the group as to this is what we think is, you know, we got to make sure we cover. Equal rating of 4.8 on the second one is provide mechanism for staff to bring issues to the appropriate place. And then so on down the list. So I guess first I'm just going to open up to questions or comments on this list. Does anybody have anything they'd like to either add or ask?
I just have a question. The third one, which from the top, which says define, identify who we represent, would that potentially have ramifications, changes, harder as to how, like right now we assign seats based on exempt, non-exempt, statutory, endowed. And I'm just asking.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, it's a very good question, actually.
Does it go that far or what?
No, I'll speak first. If anybody has anything they want to add, go ahead. But some of these descriptions are a little cryptic, and it was a lot of when I did retreat people. But really what we're looking at there is trying to identify, and this is part of the meeting I've been trying to actually set up with you, Peggy, is to define where are these roughly 10,000 employees and where are they in relation to where the employee assembly representatives are? How are they captured in listservs? Are we really capturing the 10,000 people? So it's not really redefining the charter as much as trying to make sure that through our reach, we're actually reaching out to a significant majority of the employees when we're doing different communications and so forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Our goal is to represent all staff and not say that we represent all staff. Want to actually represent them. So we got to find out where they are and who they are so we can do that effectively. Now, Bill, are you looking on a vote for this to approve this?
Well, I'm not a great Robert's Rules guy, so I guess I'm going to leave it open to the group as to this is what we came up with, this is the way the priorities fell out. I don't know if we need a vote on it, if we just this is what we're moving forward with,
right.
And I guess, I don't know, from internal ops or...
I think it would be appropriate to vote on it.
So should we give another week for everyone to actually let this... I know you did get it out to everybody. I've got like 30 of you.
Does everyone feel comfortable voting on it now, or should we wait?
I think we should vote on it. But I also think, I think it's great. I mean, it's great that Bill put the time into setting something up where we're able to prioritize action items that we're looking at. And I think that once it breaks down into the different committees, that each of these will then go, not each of them, but most of them will go into the committee. And from there, you'll have a prioritized list in the committees as well for what things to tackle first. And what are most important to the entire EA. So it's really neat to have this system where every single EA member was able to give feedback and then for us to be able to prioritize it and keep track of where the projects are. So I appreciate it, and I think you got it to us on time. You were great with reminders, so I think we just vote on it as items to go forward with.
Well, I'll make a motion to accept this list of priorities as the EA priorities.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? Okay. We passed as listed from Bill's sheet here the goals for the EA for the year 2007-2008. Good job with this.
Since that went pretty quick, I would like to take one more minute. There was a second phase, and I put an email, and that's, and Kerry kind of mentioned to it, and there's actually, this will be real quick, and I think this one we may want to take back, and people are going to have to look at. No, I actually keep the two pages.
Two.
Yeah, there's two on this one.
Two.
With those being the priorities, what I did real quickly here is went through, based on past information you guys gave, and put the committees associated with them. And by the way, the last one I sent out, the committees were incorrect, and they're corrected on here. And I can send you an electronic copy. But to me, the next phase would be... Yeah.
To me, the next step would be for the committees to look at what is assigned to them. Is that right? You should have a, just to make sure I get everybody's right, my mix is up there. On one page, the top one should have an average of 4, and on the other page, the average is of 1.1. There should be two differences there. But basically, this is the same information, but now it shows the committees. And it shows the ranking within a committee. So on that one page that shows 1.1, if you have it, you'll see CONCOM is the committee that's been assigned to all these. We'll talk about that in a minute because there's a lot of them, and whether it's right or not is a different thing. But it shows, and I actually should have reversed the order, but it shows the order of priority within CONCOM, the what things they should be working on. My recommendation on this is that this does need some looking at, that people need to look at, the chairs of the committees need to look at this and say, is this priority really part of my group? And if yes, that's good. If not, you know, we can either get to myself or Brian as the chair of the EA, and we'll talk to the executive group and move it where it needs to be. But then secondly, if you decide that, yeah, the CONCOM has all these, the CONCOM committee needs to decide what can we realistically do to try to do this year. You know, can we do all 15 of these items or however many there are? Or, hey, we're going to take the top 5. That's what we're concentrating on. And for the rest of the EA, you should just know that these other 10 are going to sit on the side. We may or may not get to them this year. So it's within the committees at this point, I think, to take a look at the list and break it down and say, and I think the committees need to come back and say, this is what we're going to work on. This is what's going to be held. And then the EA group can take a look at it and, you know, we may need a little discussion on that, but I think it's going to be pretty straightforward. So it's kind of the next phase. And then the last thing that goes with that is with the committee to decide that you have it, I think it's important that we have some kind of tracking mechanism. We talked about this before, is if we could assign a lead person when you're trying to have this item due. And then there's a very simple tracking mechanism. Just try and give a guideline of, yeah, we're about 25% complete, 50, 75, or 100. And a note on where it stands. And I gave an example of a couple that I'm actually working on. A couple that I'm saying are 25% complete, one that I'm saying is about 50% complete. So it's a very simplistic tool, but I think it would help us if we knew where we stood, you know, on a kind of high-level basis. So what I would ask for this group is to look at this, especially the chairs, see if you think they're right. People in general look at it, see if it makes sense to you, and I think the next meeting we ought to kind of finalize this piece and have a little discussion if we need to, and then finalize this piece and say, yeah, these are the ones that are responsible for it as far as committees, and these are the ones we're going to try and take on, and then just move forward from there.
So take ownership.
Yep.
Fill in the blanks. If not, and it's not part of what you believe your committee represents, then send that to me, and I'll bring it up with the executive. Any other questions for Bill?
I don't see kite flying. Did you take that off?
See what?
Kite flying. I don't see kite flying.
That wasn't one of the ones that actually came up at the retreat. Sorry. No. I would not do that. Everything that was at the retreat is on here.
It's fantastic. Good job, Bill. Really
appreciate it. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
That's it.
Anybody else want to add from the executive committee? Okay, staff award recognition. I know I'm on that, and we have not met. Communication committee.
All right. CONCOM just had a meeting this past week, and gave you a brief update on what we're doing. We're Peter is the lead on Chili Chats and listening to leaders. Writing a final document combining both of those, and he has done a great job. He's got a draft before the other members of CONCOM, and once that gets approved, then he's going to be sharing it with the whole EA, and then it'll go to Mary. And again, so it's an executive summary as well as the whole packet combining the summary for the Chili Chat and the listening to leaders. So if 75% complete, I would say, on that tracking grid, probably. That's well on its way. And then once it goes to Mary and gets approval there, then we'll start looking at taking different action points from what's actually in the summary and acting on those. Meaning the whole EA, communication committee and the whole EA. We'll take a look at that. What's doable for next steps. Bill has been the lead on the REACH project, and so he's continuing to collect from people the information on who they represent, what buildings they're located in, to get a picture of where people are at and to see if there are any blanks as far as where we're giving information and where we're getting it from, so that we can be more effective in reaching all the employees across the campus. So he's working on that map, as well as he has a meeting with Peggy and Ari, I believe, and Amy, and myself to discuss REACH a little bit more thoroughly as far as how we prioritize our communications, and if something is a very high priority, what email list is getting sent out on, should it go in paw print, so looking at structuring that a little bit more. So when we are communicating, how are we communicating, and is it a high priority communication or a low priority, and where it should go off based on the priority. And then welcome to Cornell. I have a meeting on Friday. We will be included in the Welcome to Cornell new rollout configuration. I don't have a date when that new rollout is going to be, but the information meeting is this Friday, so I'll have more information on that soon. And what that will probably involve is that I'll be asking each of the EA members to volunteer probably going to be once or twice in an academic year to staff a booth at the Welcome to Cornell to hand out literature and answer any questions. So we'll have higher visibility for all incoming staff hired at Cornell. That's it for Comcom.
Great. They're a busy committee. You guys are all welcome to join. Finance, Bill, have you spent any money?
Outside of the lunch here, I don't think so.
there are
some topics up right now, but nothing set. We're talking about some giveaways and for rate events, pen, things of that nature. We also have had a request from Mike, and he's not here, on some funds for an employee celebration, which he thinks we've done every year, but in talking to Pat, I know you're on the line there. We don't have any recollection of it, so I've asked Mike to give some more specifics on it so I could understand it, because I can't find it in the budget. And outside of that, we really haven't done anything else with finance. Pat, I don't know if you have anything you'd like to add.
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Great, thank you. Emergency grant funds. Dennis?
I received an email from Deb Billis today in response to a request that I had to her to organize the auction, annual auction during staff celebration week for the emergency grant fund. She wrote back saying that because of the workload, she would not be able to coordinate the auction this year, which is a huge blow because Deb has coordinated the auction each year since we've had the auction. I think this is the sixth or seventh or eighth one. So she's very knowledgeable, but she will not be able to do it this year. So I wanted to bring that up to this group to just be mindful of that. This is the premier fundraising event of the year for the EA committee in terms of the grant fund. And it's a huge logistical undertaking to coordinate the auction. And Hazel well knows that she's set on the committee as well. So I wanted to bring that up here to find out if anybody was interested. The committee has not met recently, but I'm going to urge you to send an email out to the committee members to see if, by chance, any of the committee members want it. If they want to take it up, but it's basically less than a month away.
It's a very, very time-consuming position.
Well, if we can't get one person to head it up, we'll all have to do it. But so, how else? I have some other things for the EGF committee, too. But how about I'll send out an email proposing some tentative times that UGF can get together, and let's get together and get these details worked out. Because I have some other questions. Sound good?
Yeah. I'll find out if Jeff can at least locate a space.
Okay.
Concerned the hell with biotech.
Yeah, I was there last year.
Yeah, I'll see if she can do that.
Okay.
Dennis, is there any opportunity to solicit a volunteer from among the employees in general if someone's interested in this?
I think there would be the
opportunity. Or Fawprint Flash or something that, you know, I mean, certainly, you know, this group, but if there's somebody else out there that's interested and maybe has the time and interest.
There are a number of volunteers who help at the events who aren't part of the emergency staff committee, grant fund committee. And it was my thought too was to at least touch base with them through Deb or independently myself to see if any of them, since they're insiders and familiar with the work, if any of them would be willing to step up to the task.
Dennis, just real quick, one other thing you just mentioned that I think we ought to ask Deb on. You talked about maybe she could at least help find, you know, confirm the place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she'd be willing to do more than that, if she'd like to split duties or something of that nature. I don't know if you say she wants to back out of it, but with less than a month to go, I mean,
maybe
I guess when we talk, it would be good if she's in the meeting, if we get in the meeting, it might be good if we could see if she could, in what ways might she be able to still help just to get us through this time and then do a full turnover or something.
I don't mind. I have to email her back anyhow. It's going to wait until after I talk with the group. I don't mind asking her if there's some way that she can help out.
Yeah.
Give us some direction, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll
or get it for us.
We'll get to the ComCom committee. what we'll do is I'll send out the email, getting the EGF together. I'll keep everybody updated. Okay? And we got a lot more to cover. Personnel policy.
I can just speak on that for a minute. I'm not on that committee, but the representative has been, well, actually, there's a few people on that committee, right? Personnel policy. No?
No.
I just joined.
Yeah, I thought I'd seen.
There you go. Yeah.
I think you just joined too, right? So there's a bunch of new people on it.
Mm-hmm.
What I have is an update is that I was in touch with Lauren Jacoby. Donna and I had talked last time because I wanted to be in touch with her to see what was coming up for the Personnel Policy Committee to possibly even increase the number of people on that committee more. So Lauren got back to me with three different policies that are under review right now that she wanted the input of the personnel policy to be involved in. So she did summarize those for me and I sent those to Donna. So whoever is on that committee, I believe Donna is going to be scheduling a meeting very soon. So three are on the docket and then I think there's a couple other ones as well. And that's all I wanted to say on that.
Good. So there will be a meeting to be determined. IOT Peter?
We met, well, me and Perry met Friday. Talking about a bunch of stuff. Charter review, when we send emails to everyone, we're just going to ask everyone to just to start with, look through just a little piece of the charter and just look for inconsistencies, errors, you know, of any type. So you can expect that email this week. Talk about the membership. You know, we have some ideas. We got, you guys all saw the ad in Cochran for you know, the open EA spot.
That was a good ad.
Mm-hmm.
It got my attention before even knew
what
it was.
Yeah,
that was very good.
Yeah, it's really cool that it was animated. yeah, we discussed that. We have a bunch of other different ideas that we're going to pursue. But of the election. September 24, Tuesday at 4 p.m. So it's a deadline for submissions from you, people interested in being members. So if you know anyone, if you have any coworkers or friends or people who are interested, or I know we're getting lots of emails from staff between different issues, so we're going to try and entice them to join us as well. But, you know, feel free to try to solicit nominations.
Peter?
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question?
Mm-hmm.
Do I understand that contract colleges are severely underrepresented right now in the EA?
Mm-hmm.
are we going to gear our recruitment to that section or that area?
We did talk about trying to get members to that are equally representative of, you know, different types of colleges and locations and whatnot, but it depends on how many nominations we get. If we only get enough to fill our RMP spots, then we won't really be able to do that. But if we get a bunch of people who are interested, we'll have a little more leeway in our selectivity.
And Pat, we also spoke in ComCom as well with Bill about our REACH project. As it's an ongoing project and we're developing it, this would be something pertinent to the REACH project where we would target those underrepresented populations and then either go to, either through HR representatives or go to the time clocks and put posters out there recruiting people. So yes, it's on the top priority.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the last time, well, one of the items was attendance policy. And because those only me and Carrie there, we decided that we would have a once around, you know, a really quick once around here and give everyone a chance to say what they feel about the policy and ideas they have so we can kind of put them together and work on them. So, I guess I'll start. I think that the policy right now is, you know, obviously really vague and too lenient, so I'm actually looking, I'd like to see it stricter and simplified, just, you know, flat number of days and who you're gone. So that's why I like to see if I know people disagree.
I disagree. If I'm working and my boss says you will attend five conferences and every conference ends up on a Wednesday and I have to attend that conference the same time as an EA meeting, I'm going to the conference because my boss instructed me to. So if I'm a member of the EA and I have to attend conferences as instructed by my boss that pays me to come to the employee assembly, and I'm going to be taken off the EA for that reason, I don't feel that that's justified.
Might it make sense to set up a subcommittee, anybody in the EA who's interested to meet outside?
That's what we were hoping for. I had only two of us showed up. We felt it would be the only way to get enough opinions.
Just
going to
be a quick one.
This has been ongoing for a long time.
Yeah. So we're going to gather today, and then IOC is going to draft attendance policy based on the feedback, and then we'll bring it for the EI.
They're taking input right now. I mean, it's a great suggestion, just a little late, that's all. And what do you think?
I definitely think we need an attendance policy. It's a slippery slope. But I've sat with this group for a number of years, and I've witnessed many times people who are on the EA that have missed a third, perhaps, of the session for one reason or another, or a quarter. Not only are they taking up a seat, but they're not helping out. And so you need to some sort of attendance policy. I think three seems punitive. A person to have three. Maybe you have three unexcused, but then you have a series of absences that can be excused. Well, because you have to go to a conference, or because your boss says, I need you right now. So they might fall into excuse, but if you have a certain number that a person just blows it off, or something else comes up and they can't, then a certain number that a person can have excused absences. And then maybe a minimum requirement as to how many meetings you have to make during the course of a year.
I think we do need a policy, and we have a policy, and the number of days doesn't seem really out of line to me, but I do think that there should be a consideration for anybody who is on a three-month leave if they need to have somebody take the position for a time period and there's someone available, that should be addressed, but taking somebody off the EA while they're on a family medical leave, I think you're losing some good quality people.
All right. I think I said out my opinion to everybody already, but my general, I kind of think, honestly, I take kind of a hard line, only because, and it's not against the individual or any person, but we do only meet once every 2 weeks, and we're trying very hard to get some things done. And even if it's a good reason somebody's out, but if they're going to be out for 3 or 4 months, you know, nothing's actually going to be happening, you know, for that person and their input and so forth. And it's just, it's unfortunate, but to me, with this kind of organization that we have and that we're volunteering, I just don't see how we can't figure out a way to move on. Now, I hadn't thought of your suggestion, and maybe if, you know, somebody knows they're going to be out for an extended period and they can get a fill-in that is consistent and somebody that's going to really contribute, there might be something there. But to have basically a hole there for an extended period of time, I can't see whether it's a good reason or not. And quite honestly, and I think I said in my email, personally, if I knew something was coming up for me and I was going to be out for 3 or 4 months, I would resign to get somebody in here that's going to be able to do the job. It doesn't make sense if I'm trying to help this organization to hold on to the position if I can't contribute. So.
Thanks, Bill. Pat, do you have anything to add?
The only thing that I would like to add is that we do have this addressed in the charter, even though it's incorrectly identified in the table of contents. And I think that we are dealing with it. You know, if you're absent for 3 consecutive or 6 cumulative unexcused, then you are asked to resign. So I guess until I know for sure what it is we're looking for, I'm not sure I would want to change anything about the charter.
Okay. I'd like to add that, yeah, we do. I agree. Everybody agrees we need an attendance policy. And I think what our battle is do we make it lenient, be an understanding. We are an elected body who represents staff and their needs. And to me, it's kind of contradictive to say, hey, you have a family emergency, family leave, you're out an extended period of time, you're off. That really doesn't, that goes against what we represent. But I would say we still need a policy. We do need members here. We do need them voting. We do need their input. And I would just ask your committee, Peter, to just put in there somehow that there's a definite number of missed absences and you're off with the recommendation from the chair or even the exec committee. I would always bring it to the exec committee. Maybe I could override an unexcused absence, make an excused absence, just something, some input, because people's situations are different. And yeah, you may not be here 6 times. Oh, you're off. But if I could say, you know, we're going to excuse you for this 6th absence to try to keep them on a little longer while they kind of come up with what they're doing, you know, figure it out. That's all I have to add in there. But no, we do need something. We have to enforce it. So,
I have one more comment. If you're going to have it excused or unexcused, there needs to be clarification in the charter what an excused and unexcused absence is.
I agree. Okay.
I think the attendance policy is good. I wouldn't make any changes to it. I do think that some thought needs to go into what Inda had mentioned, where there might be some room for having a substitute, someone maybe to sit for a meeting. If, you know, if I know that I'm away at a conference and I can get a coworker to come in here, they'll have a great experience and they'll spread the word about CEA and they'll be able to take notes from me so I can still have an active part in it. So some type of a substitution, it's just to look at it as a possibility. I would like, you know, it's my nature to say everyone, but, you know, if I'm on an extended leave, I would think that I would resign anyways, but it does seem that we do need to have a policy, because even in the short time that I've been on here, there's been some gray area, and we need to still speak and have people, I think, here, whether it be a telephone, you know, here sitting in the seat or a different mode of electronic communication.
Yeah. Peter, are you guys up for input until next meeting?
Yeah, you can email me.
Okay. Great, that's what we'll do. Are you done with ILC? Because we're going to...
Yes.
Okay. If we can get through university benefits and employee education real fast, I think what we're going to do is move on to Beth at 1 o'clock. I don't know what her schedule is. So she may... We're definitely behind out here. University benefits. Okay, no report at this time. Employee education. I know Donna is in New York City. So did she pass anything on to anybody or? Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Back on track.
Is that okay with everybody to move back on at 1 o'clock as planned?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Beth, you have the floor.
Yay. Well, I'm really excited to be here, and I know some people already know why I'm here, probably everybody, because it's on the...
Not everybody.
Okay. All right, what I'm going to do is talk about a possible release time proposal. So if you can give me one of those.
Sure.
And this is something I'd like to propose to the EA to take on as a project, and assuming it would go to the policy committee. But let me tell you a little bit about this idea for release time. And I apologize, Pat, I would have emailed this to you, I didn't realize that you'd be calling in. But on the sheet, it gives a summary. Wouldn't it be great if all Cornell University staff and faculty were allowed to participate in wellness activities during their work day? Right now, there is no policy at all. And let me give you a little bit of background as to how this all came about and what I'm doing here. As a representative or as a director of the wellness program, I'm always getting phone calls. What's the policy? I've got employees calling me. I've got supervisors calling me. And there is this mythological confusion that there is 3 hours of release time. And so it might be something you've heard of, but there really is no policy. And it all stems back to the HR director before Mary Opperman was here, when there was a note that went out for all new wellness members to their supervisors that suggested, and it said from Beth Warren at the time, I suggest that supervisors give 3 hours of release time or flex time, but it's up to the discretion of the supervisor. And it turned into a big, giant myth, and everyone believes in it. So anyway, when Mary came on board and she saw the letter, because she has to now sign it, she rewrote the letter. And in this letter to supervisors, when people join the wellness program, says, I encourage you to be as flexible as possible. That's it. In granting time. It doesn't say release time. It doesn't say flex time. It says nothing. So anyway, that's how it's been for the past 8 years since Mary's been here. In addition, probably about 6 to 8 years ago, there was a committee that tried to put together a policy that addressed personal development. And it got really far, but it didn't ever come to, it got taken off the table because of various reasons of complexity, and it was too difficult for supervisors to manage. This bigger policy had to do with release time for exercise, volunteering in your community, taking classes, all the things that could be done for personal development. And that has been trying to come back, but what happened most recently to trigger this was that a group of non-exempt office worker employees came to Mary, and Donna Goff met as well to complain because they were upset that they had release time and it got taken away from them. And that triggered this whole cascade of events where Mary asked me to look into this as a policy. And what she's thinking, as what I will try to reiterate what she's thinking, is that this is really important, and we would like to try us to work on a smaller scale, not this big policy that includes everything, but just a wellness policy. So she asked me, and she asked Chet Wozinski from Organizational Development, to do a little bit of benchmarking and gather some information and give it to her, which is what we did. And then she said this would be a great project to come from the employee assembly. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background and see if it's something that you're interested in taking on. Here are some of the assumptions that I wrote down at this point in an employee's world, that some supervisors give release time, some don't. Some let you flex your time and take a long lunch but come out in a half hour early, etc. Some departments have their own rules, such as everyone has 3 hours of release time, or you can do it this way, you can take release time at your lunch hour but not any other time, different rules. Some supervisors have no idea what to do. Some people think there's a policy. And so I think it's something that does need to be addressed because it's quite, in my opinion, unfair to a lot of people. So what's been done? What I'd like to do is tell you a little bit about the benchmarking, but talk to Mary, work with Chet, and also did this presentation to the HR Council, which are all the directors of all the units on campus, to get their feedback before we move ahead. And the question that was posed to them was, are any of your deans or directors going to absolutely have a fit if we do this? And the answer was very positive, that nobody would have a major fit. There's got to be a way to somehow make this work. In the benchmarking, what I did was I checked to see what other universities had done in terms of release time for employees, and overwhelmingly, they gave not 3 hours, but an hour and a half or 90 minutes per week of release time. And so when you run that past the human resources and any deans and directors who think, how am I going to manage 3 hours? When you say 1.5 hours to them, they're like, oh, that's much easier. I can do that. That's, you know, 30 minutes three times a week. So that's where that came from. It's not set in stone. This committee might, if you take it on, might come up with something completely different. But within the benchmarking survey, I've got it all here. I didn't make a copy of this for everybody. I'm sure you don't want it, but I made a copy for the committee that's going to get it. Are all the different ways that universities have managed it and all their forms and all their rules and regulations around it. And so there are a lot of different ways to go and a lot of ways to define what the time could be used for. And I'm not proposing to do that. I'm just volunteering to act as a consultant. What Chet and I had discussed was to see if EA would be interested in looking into the possibility, and if so, we recommend that whoever takes it on does some focus groups, and we've come up with focus group questions, and Chet has the focus group methodology and can do training on how to conduct a focus group. And so that's waiting if it's needed by this group. And then my wish would be that EA would see what the response is around the university and see if a policy would be a good idea and then develop something. And I've got sample policies here that I wrote with Chet just to give someone a starting point. But that's where we are. Questions?
That's great. I would think, it's already, Mary already suggested bringing it to us. I don't know if anybody here knows the charter, this area. Does this fall within the guidelines of our charter as something that the EA can try to pass? I don't know. So then it is? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. I would think, Ari, you could quote me if I'm wrong, but I would think we would need some sort of a resolution to empower us to take on this responsibility. Is that correct, Ari?
The committee could produce a resolution that could go to approve and send on to Mary Opperman and the president.
I think she was asking whether you need a resolution to begin work.
You don't need a resolution to begin work.
No, you can vote to go ahead with it.
the end product after you've done the evaluation may be a resolution that the employee votes on and then sends forward.
Okay.
So, yes, I think that'd be if you decide to take on it. Can I ask a question? I heard two products come out of this. One might be a resolution as a recommendation that yes, there should be a policy. That's one thing. But then I also heard you talk about policy development and writing a policy. Two different things. Two different products.
Right.
And which one or both are you looking for the EA specifically?
That's beyond my scope of knowledge because I don't know how policies happen here at Cornell.
Okay.
And so whatever the EA is able to do, I would imagine a policy has to come from the policy committee.
So you're not necessarily, I thought I was hearing a little bit of, and the EA would begin to write some type of policy, which I'll be honest with you, concerns me because they're really not the experts in
right.
this type of thing. And I'm not sure that that's within your purview. Certainly within your purview to investigate, solicit feedback, do the focus groups, get the pulse of what folks might like, supervisors and others, and then make recommendations that, you know, that this would be in the best interest and supported by the, you know, and making that resolution. And I think that's probably where more of the need is.
Right, and the legwork for the policy, it would be my hope that you would not just recommend everyone get X amount of time, but you recommend, and here's a possible way to manage it, and here are some possible rules around it. You know, if you had a policy, what would happen if a person really couldn't take advantage of it? How would that go between the supervisor and the employee? And you know, kind of troubleshoot how it would work. The idea behind this is not, the idea behind it is to have sort of a floor of this 90 minutes. It wouldn't be that anyone who has 3 hours would have it taken away, but rather, mostly, to be honest with you, non-exempt employees who have more rules and regulations about their time than exempt employees. So it would probably affect them more, and so with them in mind, troubleshooting, how could this work, how could we make this work, you know, what would it be like for someone who has a union job versus someone who has a working outside job, how would the Cornell police do this? It might be impossible, but kind of troubleshooting all the ways to make it work for as many people and something for everybody as possible.
I'm a little confused because I think I'm hearing two different things, and maybe I'm not, but I think what you're talking is just going out and seeing if it sounds like something that the majority of the employees or how we go about it are definitely interested in, think it's a good idea to have some kind of a wellness program with hours, with these hours that we're talking about, versus going to the next level, which you were just talking about, which is here's some recommendations on how you might implement it, here's the amount of hours you might want to do, and things. I think it goes back to your original question. I mean, it's another whole level.
Yeah, there's a hybrid in there somewhere, it seems, too, and I think that's something you have to work through. But it may come out of, as you solicit the feedback and information and hear people's concerns, you know, that may be a logical output of extension of what you find. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So as you hear the concerns and why this won't work or why people don't like it, then you incorporate that into your recommendation of how it can be.
And there's lots of stuff.
I think it would be important to set a realistic expectations of what the EA would be producing, and
mm-hmm.
it would not, in my mind, be just kind of speaking for this group, it would not be a policy.
Right.
I would never expect a full-blown policy to come out of this group, but certainly recommendations and perhaps some thought behind some areas that they feel they're hearing a lot of feedback on,
offering what they're hearing as recommendations, you know, and then, you know, to me, you know, that would, it may come from your office in terms of a sponsor of that policy, and again, I'm not all that well versed on maybe that.
We might have to bounce it back to you, but we can definitely explore it.
Yeah.
And I can also talk more closely with Mary as to what he would expect.
I got a little story about how the policy writing process goes from when we did the campus code discussion and about how it worked if that was under the policy, the standard university policy system. And as I understand it, if someone in your administration supports a policy change, they give sort of a broad outline of what they want the policy to incorporate it. Mm-hmm. They send it to this policy review group that turns that into formal language and puts it in a template, and then sends it back to them to evaluate again.
Okay.
So the way, what I'm reading from you is that the employee assembly,
there
is looking for a role for that.
In perhaps bringing this forward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's fine.
Yeah.
You think that a wellness policy either should or should not exist, and it should incorporate these things. It should be this many hours. It should...
Yeah, and she'd like it to come from, it's appropriate for it to come from the employee assembly. That's what employees would want.
My tenants, a couple questions. One for Beth and one for Ari. Ari, how does the Personnel Policy Committee then interface in this whole discussion? And that is also a committee, it would seem to me that committee should be able to weigh in at some point. Otherwise, you're supplanting the role of that committee. So think about that. And Beth, the question of most colleges and universities offer release time, is that release time for wellness activities only, or is that release time for wellness, personal development, courses, volunteering, is it all lumped together?
When I say most, I just mean most of the ones that offer anything, because most offer absolutely nothing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Almost offer nothing.
Yeah, and that might have been just my wording wrong.
Okay.
But of the 10 or so universities that offer it, they're very specific with what they say you can do. Participating in an approved wellness program or walking club. They don't say you can leave half an hour early.
Just
go
walk.
Just say you're going to
Then the other thing, if you could help us with, and this would be very useful, I think, for the group to know, is what is the thinking, the current thinking in terms of the wellness world, what is the minimum amount of aerobic exercise that a person should have per day or per week?
So I'll let Carrie answer that one.
Okay.
It's 20 to 30 minutes, 3 to 5 times per week, depending on intensity level. So, for example, 20 minutes of running 3 times per week, and that's to help to reduce your chances of cardiovascular risk, health risk, and disease risk in general, cancer, etc.
Now, the other piece to this, in addition to helping people become fit, is it sends a message that Cornell cares enough about you. And I have a bunch of studies, I didn't copy them, about how much time people waste at work. There's been a study done that shows people 2.3 hours a day, and there's a list of what they do, talking on the phone, surfing the internet, talking with their coworkers. And then there are also studies showing that, and those are in my pile here, that when you are participating in a fitness program, you're more productive at work. And so in addition to the health benefit, there's also the productivity aspect, and I can talk to a committee with more detail about that. The supervisors worry if you're not there, you're not working. It helps with creativity. So there's the productivity, and then there's the Cornell's a great employer because they offer this aspect. Whether or not you take advantage of it, just knowing that you can, says something really special.
No, yeah, I think the committee would love to see those, talk to you more about it. And those are actually things that we want to point out to a broader audience as we, possibly make a public announcement of when we're going to, bring more people into it. get that happen.
Mm-hmm. There's also, I don't know exactly how the EA is structured, and I would be more than happy to meet with the committee to go through each of my documents one by one, but if the committee wants other people on its committee, I know the group of people who did meet with Mary originally was, who were concerned might be willing to do some of the legwork.
It's definitely exciting. Does Harvard do anything like this?
No.
Well, we can beat them to it. That's the standard. I think it's great that I heard a lot about it, even ahead of time. I think it's great, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to move it to a committee, and then I'm assuming it's personnel policy committee, and then I would just recommend that we need to get a jump on this, you know, as soon as possible. Especially they're one of the committees that didn't meet yet, so now they have something to really make them meet. Although I'm on two that haven't met, so I got to do that too. does that sound fair? And I'm sure you'll be updated as we progress.
I know where your assistant chair works. I know where you get the update.
Where? We appreciate you coming here. It's definitely something we'll look into.
Terrific. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you're welcome to step.
I will.
We're going to just stay on for another 10 minutes. Hopefully. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to move back up to new business. And we're going to, did I skip one? Oh yeah, old business. What do we have under old business?
No, we had the attendance policy, which I'm studying.
That would have been old business.
Yeah.
Okay, I think at this time, old business, we can move past it. Because they always say old business. New business. The Cornell Master Plan Committee is seeking an EA volunteer. Who wants to talk about that one? Ask for that position.
I got an email at some point asking that to be on the agenda. So,
I'll talk.
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
actually, Dennis and I actually happened to be on that committee from a while. Dennis, a very long time, correct?
Well, we're on the campus planning committee. We're not on the
master plan. I'm sorry.
Remember, Andre Congaros was the employee assembly member who was on the master planning smaller committee. And I think since he is no longer on the employee assembly, Donna, or maybe Mina.
I think
it's
Mina.
Mina
and
Well, Dennis and I are on the UA committee, that is the campus planning committee, and we have had the opportunity to be shown and solicited feedback and whatnot on this master plan. So just so you guys know that, and actually he and I were talking about how we don't really report out to anybody as much as we talk about reporting out, so we're happy to provide that. But yeah, I agree it is important to have an employee assembly representative on the master, which is the higher group.
Oh, it's a powerful word. That's great.
Let's
see if we can make this easy.
Yeah.
Is anybody here willing to volunteer to be on the Cornell Master Plan Committee?
I would volunteer for it because I've actually sat in on the larger group meetings already, and they're in their final phase right now. So instead of somebody trying to sit in now, catch up.
So you'll do that?
And I know Mina. Yes.
Great.
I guess my question was, I didn't know if, because I brought it up at the retreat too, and Donna had said, well, her organization does everything. So when I got the request to have someone sitting on that committee, I didn't know if Donna had taken on that role or.
Maybe contact her and find out.
I think she's part of the staff.
Yeah, she's really staffed that committee more than serving. I mean, she does serve as an employee advocate on the committee, but her role is a dual role. Both staffing the committee, since that happens, it's her shop, and also as employee assembly liaison. So I think Nina probably is looking for somebody who's strictly an employee assembly connection liaison.
Donna works for Q, and as part of, and so I believe that's part of her job. And then Nina reports to Q in terms of Nina being the university planner. Nina is the lead on this process.
Right.
So I think Donna's there as a side note, kind of, and not as an EA representative. But yeah. So I think it would be perfectly okay to send a representative.
Okay. You could always email Donna. You might want to ask her supervisor if she's going to be flexible on giving you more time on a committee.
The other thing I would add quickly is it would be important to make yourself aware to Nina, because we've been given a draft of a large document that needs to have some feedback on it within the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot to plow through. So it's probably important. It's important if you're going to be on in that inner committee that you plow through that and get yourself into speed with that.
Right. I guess what I'm wondering is I don't want to be redundant. You know what I'm saying? Like, we already have three people who already have a working knowledge of this document.
Well, you're not.
We're not on the master though. We're not on the master graph. So we're a subset, and that's fine where we're supposed to be.
Okay.
But I feel strongly that the EA should have a representative.
Okay. So I will volunteer and I will get back on.
I think you do a heck of a job.
Thanks.
You might want to make sure you talk to Jeffy in Nina's office to get the Jeffy to get the big document.
the big
document.
Okay, great. Carrie, let us know how it works out.
I will do that.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
You got a week. save the date, October 1st, President's Address to Staff. I will mention before somebody speaks about this that this is one of our goals and it's one of our high ones. So it is number one. So let's look at this seriously. Well, we look at everything seriously, but we don't got much time for October 1st. Okay. Anybody have anything to add about the President's Address to Staff?
Do you have a time and place?
October 1st, Cornell University.
Exactly, 12 noon at the Statler Auditorium, same cluster.
Which is at Cornell University.
What are they looking, Amy, do you know, or does anybody know what they're looking from us? Or is it just to let us know, hey, come show up? Are they looking for us to help?
At some point, I imagine Connie Bart is going to want some feedback on what the president's going to need to say, talk about, answer questions, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Who's that paper?
Yeah, I was going to say, they are we in terms of the EA is a heavy sponsor of this, and you have a big chunk of your budget dedicated to this. I believe, has there been a request to Mary for additional funding?
No, not that I'm aware of. We have $3,200 in our budget this year for the President's Address.
Had discussed at one point, and the president paid for at least part of his own address.
My understanding, based on what the Amy and I talked, based on what the cost was last year, there's going to be a few groups that are going to have to pay some to make this thing happen. So I guess Pat, you and I probably ought to talk, and maybe you can help me out with how it took place last year. We talked to Amy. I know she's given me some information already, but yeah, we need to. I guess adjust with you pretty quickly here as to how this whole thing's going to be paid for.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to work with you.
I'll just talk to you offline. I'm not sure what the process was, but I don't want to go into all the detail here. I'll get a hold of you. We'll talk, but we do need to get going right away with the time for the conference quicker this.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I will get a hold of you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, we Carrie and I will be meeting with Mary next week, and we'll bring this up to her. I'd like to do more, since this is our number one goal for the year. I'd like to do more than just pay for this event and answer a questionnaire if possible. So I guess we'll find out more about this next week.
What's going on traditionally I think what you're talking about is like have a, like a clear representation there.
Yes,
something that being the more, right, for the event. So I've attended the event in the past, but I guess it would be great since so many of us are new in the exec position to have a more clear role or knowing what the exec committee has been in the past, what the EA has been in the past, but that's just paying for the event. And I think that's something that we'll talk about in the next exec meeting.
And we can do that, but it would be a good idea to have that on your, when you guys meet with Mary, I think that'd be very good to discuss that event.
Even if it's ushers or something, I just feel like we should be a little more part of it to try to
support
President Bush more.
That's, Okay.
Great, thank you.
But we need Mary, we need some money from Mary.
We'll bring it up.
I think we can wrap up the rest of this in a couple of minutes if somebody wants to make a motion to extend it.
That clock ahead.
Right with me.
Motion to extend 5 minutes.
All four?
Make sure we don't have to do it.
No.
Second.
Okay.
Currently, an EA meeting is scheduled the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Should we change the date?
Amy brought this to our attention. There is one right before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's on the Thursday, and we have an EA meeting on the Wednesday.
I think we should change it.
Is anyone opposed to changing it?
No.
Okay.
Or
then we will change it.
Okay.
So we'll
okay.
come back with all
yeah, that might not work good.
All right, so it's definitely, we will not have that meeting for Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then we'll come up with alternate dates.
Probably be November 21st.
Right,
we'll reimburse it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Either the 14th or the 28th.
I think it would be appropriate to have a motion to change it. So we should have a motion on the table. I mean, if nobody opposed it, it's like we already voted in, but I mean, I'll make that motion.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody second this?
I'll second it. Okay.
Just make it official.
All four changing this meeting time?
Mm-hmm.
Any opposed? Okay. Get back to us. And
you still there, Geneva?
I'm here.
Good.
I didn't see your hand.
Post everything.
Okay. Beth? Yeah, great job on your presentation. Thank you. And open forum, anything anybody wants to bring up? Yeah.
Just a quick heads up. I think if Donna had been here, she would have asked for the employee assembly to consider a resolution endorsing the United Way campaign, the Cornell United Way campaign. I know that's a discussion that she had been in a small group of employees who are assisting the Cornell United Way campaign issue.
Is she writing the resolution?
She's going to ask. Is she writing the resolution? I can't answer that.
Okay.
But I believe she will be looking for this group to endorse the resolution.
Yeah, I know she brought it up. She's talked about it before. So that would definitely do our best to support. Anything else?
I just wanted to mention, because I haven't heard, I don't think I've heard it, that the campus code of conduct will be continued to be reviewed over the course of this year. The CJC, Code and Judicial Committee, which is a committee of the University Assembly, will be meeting this month, and you can expect an open forum, I think, October
1st?
Tuesday the 2nd. So you're aware of that. One of the key issues that we expect will be discussed is jurisdiction of the code and whether it may or may not extend off campus. Recall that with the confusion on faculty and staff, well, and students too, but in each their own way. So I just wanted to remind everyone of that that's coming up this semester.
Thank you. All right, again, I'd like to get you.
I just wanted to add that a lot of stuff we're doing in committee, so make sure you schedule the dates and show up, especially like.
And two people show up.
Attendance and stuff that people really seem to care about, if there's some topic that you're interested in, feel free to email over to the chair and then come to a committee meeting to discuss topics that are important to you.
And I'd like to thank everyone for coming. And again, if there's any issues going on, I'm open if anybody wants to contact me and talk, especially with VA-related issues, but personal issues too. I just welcome that. Open that up for you. I'd like to adjourn this meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second. All four?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we adjourn the meeting at 1:35.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We love you.
See you at 4:30. Hope she didn't.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.